This week on your Old School RuneScape Update, Game Jam 5 is underway and we showcase collection log changes, POH customizations, and gear loadouts. Varlamor's Herblore activity appears as alchemy with reward discussion, gameplay, and the XP sweet spot. Also, Sirion gets his fire cape. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 25, recorded Saturday, April 27th, 2024. The more the merrier. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are in, as we are each and every week, and this week we've had a wonderful adventure through some jungle woodlands, but we'll get there in a wee bit. You having a fun week this week? I ask you that every week, and you know the answer seems to vary.
Was a little bit of a roller coaster this week.
Right. Now that you're, I remember what you've been sending me.
Yeah.
In game, folks. Of course, everything is fine in paradise. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the podcast that discusses the weekly news of Old School RuneScape, amongst other things. If you want to follow along in the show notes to see what we're going to be talking about, update.show/OS, you can find all the show notes there. And of course, there you can also find links to subscribe on your favorite podcast listening services. We're on Apple, Spotify, and of course, YouTube as well, youtube.com/@OSRS. Update, you can find me in game at Shane12088. Sirion is at Sirion with a C. We also have a community Discord at update.show/discord, and the friends chat is over at Bits Bytes. Okie dokie. So I think we just get into this week and talk about some of the further things that are happening in Varlamor land, and I think we start with the patch notes this week, and you pulled out a rather interesting one here that was listed, and I had to do a double take when I read this. So what exactly is this first one about?
So this is the one about cavity tufts from Hunter Rumors. So for those who are not aware, basically one of the quote-unquote meta things to do was if you got one of the Cabot rumors that required you to do a pretty obnoxious task, like the one that used deadfall traps or even tracking, I think, you would swap it out for a Cabot task that required you to do falconry, because that's honestly not so bad in comparison. And then once you got the item drop, you would go back and swap out your rumor to the one that requires the annoying cabot and just hand in the item you just got. Like, hey, it came from a cabot, right?
I didn't know that level of cheese was possible. And if when I did Hunter Rumors, if I knew that was the case, I would have had a much better time.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't look like we'll be able to do this going forward.
No, the guild people have been, have been educated, and they can now apparently tell the difference.
If you run the Hunter Guild, you would expect they'd be able to.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it's funny. Like, there's a little bit of a cry out over this, of course, because people now actually have to. Play the game.
And that reflects on the state of Hunter, not the state of the guild.
Exactly. I think, I can see why people did this. I would also not want to do deadfall traps or tracking.
No.
But at the same time, I think, this is the better solution in the long term. And then over time, we'll see. We'll hopefully see quality of life of Hunter improved, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've been amazed with Old School in my, 18 months that I've been playing it, first 6 months on and off, then a year wholeheartedly, is that you have quality of life updates that are done for skills that, you know, need them, and they're done in a way that it very much so honors the game as it was when it came out. And I feel like Hunter's still in that camp where Hunter could receive a myriad of updates that would move it in that direction, but we haven't, you know, seen anything to that effect yet. And, you know, we're left to just work within the system that we got when it comes to the rumors at the guild. So,
yeah,
but,
and I think, like just like playing off of that, like if you look at the changes they made to the combat achievements, I think, you know, it shows a level of awareness of the game. I mean, sure, they could have figured this out like from the get-go, but the response to allow more playstyles to gain the combat achievements by, you know, changing some of the requirements to be less harsh or, you know, make more sense, I really like. I think, you know, it gets rid of this level of, you know, we feel that the game must be played in a particular way. Like, it shows a level of openness to give people the freedom to make their own decisions about their own playstyle. And I think old school enables that really well.
And to be clear, you're talking about the change made on the combat experience to enable folks with the Zerker builds to take part.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. And, you know, it's interesting because if you're not playing one of the PR categories, you almost at times can forget that they exist, right? And that there is an entire section on the high scores dedicated to those custom sorts of builds like that, that are just, you know, off the wall. And it really highlights the depth and, you know, some of the weirdness that's possible with the game. So, and, you know, when you tie all those together, it really is, I think, a unique thing to all things RuneScape that they are willing to lean into that aspect of the game on that.
The cool thing I find from this as well is that, you know, it's this realization that they can make these changes, and you and I, we won't notice the difference to these tasks, really. I mean, they become a little bit easier, maybe, but, you know, it's fine. Like, they don't negatively affect our game, but they still enable other people. And I think there's often a lot of bad... what's the word
I'm looking
for? Bad blood. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Like a lot of bad blood between these communities. But I think, you know, they hit the right balance there. Like, I think this is a positive change.
It definitely is.
The more people
is.
Get to play the game, the more the merrier.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes to the same old adage. And unless you're, you know, fundamentally against more the merrier and just allowing people to be themselves if they're not hurting others, you get to I think overall a good situation that just, you know, enriches the game, enriches the community, and enriches the number of people that are around. So
yeah,
all right, but we know what else has been happening this week. Game Jam, and I love Game Jam weeks. I've always followed these on RS3, and this is my first one following on the old school side, and typically part of the ritual for that is, you know, hunting down the JMod posts on X and finding out and seeing what they've been making. And we got a couple of them we're going to focus on this week. So starting off, Mod Husky has been making some changes to the collection log interface, amongst other things, for this. And there's a number of GIFs and a number of pictures that are posted for this on here.
GIFs.
Yeah, that's how the creator wants it said. That's been documented. It's been documented.
I don't care what the creator thinks. He made an acronym.
Anyways, collection log interface? Yes, no, maybe so?
Yes, I like it. We were talking pre-show about, you know, how I really appreciate how the collection log works.
This one's more visual.
Yeah, that too. I mean, the existing collection is not bad, but I like sort of getting the categories and it gives it more of something to chase. And from what I could see, there will also be sort of milestones, which I like nice. I give me more rewards. I'm always up for that.
Yeah, and the funnest thing about this as well is that this is introducing an element of completionism into the game. And my question, I think, to the people who, have got max in the game already, is that if you see these completion logs put in front of you, are you going to go for these? Do you feel compelled to go for these? Because I know on RS3, that's the general sense, is that after you've got max or what have you go for, some form of completion, whether it be, for comp or whether it be for completing some sort of log like this. So what I'm wondering with these updates is anybody going to jump down this completionist bandwagon? And, I'll extend that out to the listeners as well, if anybody's listening and wants to throw that in the comments or in the Discord.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think the collection log here is too much, right? Like, it's such a massive
It's the
goal.
kitchen sink.
It's a kitchen sink, but I mean, honestly, I mean, you're gonna laugh at me for this or consider me crazy, but I kind of liked the sense of filling out my collection logs for the clues, doing leagues, and getting some task completions for it at certain milestones. I like that. I thought it was fun.
That's your opinion, not mine.
That is my opinion, right?
Yes.
But like, I mean, sure.
But it goes back to what we said in the previous segment. That's not
Yeah,
a
I
play
mean,
style for me.
no, and it's also not, I'm not usually a completionist either, right? Though that being said, I do the achievement diary, so I find it less problematic than you, perhaps.
Right.
I kind of like the idea of taking things off. It's a little dopamine hit, right? It's like, yay.
Yeah.
I don't expect to fill all of these things,
And the
but
interesting thing about this is that after you reach certain tiers in the amount of collection log slots that have been slotted, you're going to get something, if this goes in, called a staff of acquirement that you'll be able to have. And what it is just a cosmetic staff that you can run around with. And that's further listed in Husky's X thread.
yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, yeah, it doesn't have to have rewards. Like, I
No,
think combat
yeah, like I
achievements.
feel like that's secondary, but I feel like it's a neat touch.
I just like that's the thing as well. I think the new combat achievement system in old school is great because it gives me a little bit more. Like, I don't like getting to the very end of these kind of task lists, right? Where I don't have a lot of choice yet left to do things,
Yeah.
but I like it when, there's milestones coming up and I have choices for what are the last few things I'm going to do to get me over that little point hump, right?
Yeah,
If
that's
that
fair.
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It
Like, that's
does.
what the same with leagues, right? Okay, I'm this close to a relic. What are like the three things I can do to get me across that little hump?
And is there going to be a simple thing, a medium difficulty thing, and a hard difficulty thing for that?
Exactly, right? And yeah, I don't know. This is, to me, the collection log is a great passive progression meter, right?
Yeah, and this
I
just
will
makes it a
never,
little
I
bit
will.
more visual because, of course, it's already there,
Yeah.
right? So.
Like, I will not ever, probably, I mean, never say never, chase a completion of a log.
Well, it's easy to get started because there's only 69 items for raids, and that's the smallest one.
We'll talk about a collection I logged this week. Or collection item, I should say. But no, to me, I just love the fact that each time I do something, like, I slowly progress my account. For me, because I play a main, right? And doing clues, like, a lot of the clue rewards aren't great, but it just feels great that if I get the wolf mask, even though it's not worth a bloody thing, it still ticked something off. I can still feel good
about
it.
Yeah, you were very excited about that, and I thought he's excited about it because, you know, it's worth, like, millions because of its rareness. But no, it was worth, like, 1,200 GP.
I wish. Anyway,
also,
great stuff.
Also, Mod Jerv has been working on POH customization updates.
Oh, one second. I actually have a finished collection in my collection log.
Okay.
Which finished is? Diaspora collection log.
Oh, that would be this week too, wouldn't it? Or was that before?
Oh, that was before. That was before.
Yeah, because it's just the bucket. What else is on there?
And the free anima seats.
Okay. So not too bad.
Finished the Rogue's Den one as well. There you go. That's two full collections fully logged. Wow, I'm impressed with myself.
It starts with one and then it continues. But
in a year, people are going to clip this and send this to me. Like, hey, remember when you said you weren't going to finish Clues and now you're here grinding Tombs of Amaskot? And I'm like, yeah.
POH customization updates from Mod Jerv. With this, he says, I'm currently focusing around customization and props around your POH and would love... And some love, though, for an upgraded variant of old, commonly used prop pieces. So there's things like wall plants, different variants of it, the Temporos bowl, the hero blade, scimitars, new ways for the even such things as the gilded altars to look, of all things.
Love it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is just very visual because... obviously, it's not going to be changing how things work in the POH, but it's just kind of that cherry on top, I guess. And I feel like construction is a beloved skill for many people.
It is for me. You know, it was, like, to me, it is... how do I describe this? If you look at all of the skills, in terms of their potential, it's my favorite skill. Right? Because... and I think old school makes more, like, makes true other potential pretty well.
Yeah, they lean into it heavily.
Because there's a lot of utility to the POH. And especially now that they made it so that no matter how big your house, it will still load in the same amount of time. There's even more room to make it, like, a big place to show off. And this fits right into that, like... yes, give me more of this. I would love to make a very pretty house one day.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the reasons it's so important, and this is something I always tell people who come over from RS3, is that construction actually has the updates that you want in it that you don't know that you necessarily need yet. That's the best way I think I can put that. And that's why I said these kind of graphical updates from Mod Jerv are kind of like the cherry on top, because obviously the construction systems in old school are used and not forgotten. World 330 for the house, the house parties world with the gilded altars
I was telling you,
Hmm?
I was showing that the other day, right? Where the world was full. The gilded altar POH world was full.
Right.
And it blew my mind.
And, I mean, the tipping mechanism, all that stuff is there. And it really just, you know, goes to show how all this feeds back into construction itself and why you can kind of have the bandwidth for a game jam to provide these sorts of graphical, you know, variants that Jerv is looking at doing for this. So,
what's your favorite item from all of these proposed ones?
The plant.
Yes. I really like the. I'm not even surprised. I like the hanging burners that hang from the ceiling.
Okay.
And weirdly enough, the bow and arrow. I think that's just cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're master in range, you'd want to prop something like that up.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily know where these props are going to come from or what their, you know, build items are going to be or what their costs are going to be. But, you know, rightly so, they might as well be expensive if you're, you know, putting something up there like the Framnic Shield, for example, or a variant of some of the tapestries.
Yeah. Also, oh, I'd love for there to be a lot of tapestries so you can, like, hang them everywhere across your throne room. And it could be like what the max guild is, in where you can have, like, for each skill, you can hang down, like, a banner. Oh, that would be great.
Also, look at how the altars look compared to what we have right now.
Yeah,
with the god runners over the top of them.
I think it's pretty.
Yeah, it just adds a nice level of polish to it. So, I wonder if these will go in. You think something like this will go in? Because it says Jerv is a concept artist. And obviously these are concept pieces. So somebody would need to model them and then they would need to go into the game.
Hey, I'm drooling over them. So maybe that will help convince some people to add them.
Yeah. Maybe this is finally the kick we need to make the old school updates X account and we could go reply to these people or put something
but,
on there.
But like... Jerv is smart and he actually proposes to reuse some existing props, right? So it might not even be that expensive to make this.
Like, right. Like,
you could just take decorations from across the world and maybe slap them in sort of a different combination, but...
Yeah. And, you know, another thing...
Oh my god!
Another thing...
Did you see in the Hunter Trophy the impling that's just stuck into a frame? That's just cruel. Just flattened.
It deserves it. It deserves
what
it.
What have Implinks ever done to you, Shane?
It's what they would do to me if I was an Iron character and wanted to go do Imp Catcher.
But that's... No. That's an Impling, not an Imp.
Close enough. No, you're right. Implings probably haven't done anything to me. I did have an okay time in Pro, tracking the ones down that I needed to. So I take that back. No. And then the big one from Mod Necro. Loadouts.
I thought we were never going to get those.
Same.
It's weird.
But the interesting part is that these are equipment loadouts. They're not full-blown bank presets, just so we're being clear. I just want to make that clear for everybody on audio here.
Yeah.
That it's... equipment loadouts, not bank presets.
Which is still nice.
It is. It's a fantastic quality of life feature that, you know, you don't know that you need until you've used them. I find the really interesting part about this is that, you know, you're going to get, you know, from the looks of it, 6 loadout slots, and then you click them, and then it just loads them up directly from the bank. And the thing that I think we need to write home about on this one, because, you know, we'll say that, oh yeah, there's nothing to write home about this week, let's just, you know, move through the patch notes and carry on, right? It's the sheer simplicity of this. To save a loadout, you press copy equipment. To load a loadout, you choose it from the drop down and choose equip loadout.
Yeah.
It just flows so nice. And, you know, based on what's here, I think the only kind of thing that we're not seeing in motion is that if a loadout already had items on it and you wanted to, you know, copy the equipment again, just offer a confirm for that. And then that would pretty much, I think, be the end of story for this interface. But it's just so smooth.
Yeah, it feels satisfying just seeing it play out.
And, you know, the tweets for all of these are linked in the show notes at update.show. And I don't know about you, and I don't think I've conveyed this on the show here before, but when it comes to software, sure, you can have, you know, a nice flow of how the system behind your software works, and that's all well and good. You need that. But for me, the most important thing for me personally is to have a user interface that flows, is nice, and is understandable, and above all else, is simple. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
So, this is my favorite. Does it displace the construction one for you or the collection logs?
I don't know. Especially with the bank layout things, you can't.
I want to rant about that now that you mentioned that. I can't understand that. I find it too complicated.
It's not so bad.
I want a simple preset. I press one button and the preset loads. I don't want to choose something.
Oh, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist.
I know it doesn't exist.
It's not allowed.
Right. And I'm saying Jagex should do that as a springboard off of this loadout game jam, because doing a bank preset by loading up the thing from the RuneLite plugin that highlights the items in your bank and then clicking each one.
Oh, but I don't use that.
Oh, you don't?
No, I use bank tab layouts. So you know you can have... So this basically sits on top of the bank tags, right? So you have the normal tabs on top,
yeah.
But you can also have these tag tabs on the side, and items can be multiple tag tabs. And bank tab layouts basically allows you to freely drag them around like it is an inventory, so they don't have to go around in rows. And then what you can even do is you can even have a button that takes your current... loadout and inventory and put it sort of side by side in the layout.
Oh, so then you just click each one there.
And then, yes.
You know, that's a little bit more clear than the one that is trying to be presets. Okay, I will give you that.
Oh, I don't use that. I don't use that. I think it doesn't really help. But yeah, like this is the one I use. For all my farm runs, I have one for each combat.
You knew I was
style.
Going there. You knew that's why this was bothering me, right?
I thought you'd been using bank tab layouts.
No,
all this time.
I was using the other one, and it
annoyed me.
Because I was suggested to use this other one during leagues, and I set it up, and I thought, oh my god, is this as good as it gets?
Use the tab layouts and see what you think of that, because I think it will solve a lot of your problems. You still need to click everything manually. But it gets you most of the way there, especially because
it sounds like it's got a better flow, which is important.
Yeah, because I also have it set up. I don't know what it is and where the setting is. It might be a plugin that if I'm in my bank and I shift click an item in my inventory, it will equip it. So I just basically grab everything.
It can do that.
Yeah, so I grab everything from the left column, which is my loadout, then I shift click everything in my inventory, and then I just go over the right half and I'm done.
All right.
It's great.
I will set that up later today.
Yes.
And then we'll see if that's enough to get me over the hump. But that's Game Jam. Game Jam runs until May 6th, so we got another week of this incoming. We'll be watching next week to see if anything else pops up. But we also got a blog this week detailing the Herblore activity in Varlamore Part 2. And... you know, looking at this at the very surface level, and I'll say surface level for, you know, a reason we'll get to in a couple minutes. This is Herblore based on how alchemy works in other games.
Mm.
That's what I picked up from this. And
my first thought went out to like Overcooked or like other sort of games where you run a kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's like one big chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also like these mobile games, right? Where it's like you make a pizza with given toppings. And it's like, so.
I was actually thinking of that too. Is this going to be a good mobile activity based on how the, you know, the UI and whatnot looks at what they're proposing?
That's a good question. I have not dared to do Giant's Foundry on mobile. And I think that sits in a similar category.
And there are lots of comparisons to Giant's Foundry with this in terms of, you know, in terms of the inputs and whatnot here. And do you want to start with the rewards or feedback side of it?
I think just, yeah, I mean, we could quickly repeat the gameplay for people who don't
know.
Yeah,
go for it.
Oh, what did I do there in the show notes? also, so for people who don't know, we use Google Docs for our show notes, and right now it is suggesting to replace Valamor with Valamov.
What is that?
So, you know, I don't know. That's when Savannah meets Russia, I think.
Varlamov is best known as the Russian ice hockey goaltender.
Okay. Well,
Semyon
anyway.
Varlamov.
Anyway. Yeah, I know it's basically you get a list of recipes for potions to be made, and the potions need to be made from a combination of three... essences, I think is the word.
Yeah.
And to get those essences, you need to, you know, process certain herbs to get those essences. So like Cadentine gives you one lye, whereas toad flax, for example, gives you three agar. And then basically you get orders. You have a certain time to make those orders, deliver them to the customer.
And that's where the overcooked aspect comes in.
Exactly. And a certain time involved. And that's it, basically. That's the gameplay loop. You get points based on the potions you make. So, like, you get, like, if you make, say, the earworm potion, which requires two mocks and one agar, you get two mox points and one agar points, and then those points get turned into rewards. So that's sort of the short version of it. Yeah, I think it's okay. We'll see how it exactly works out.
Yeah,
but
I like the alchemy and chemistry approach that they're taking.
It's interesting. With it. Yeah, and so in the original. Implementation, they had very sort of scientific names.
Yes.
But they are renaming them to be a little bit more fantasy-like, which I think fits really well with the alchemy theme.
Yeah, totally on that. And, you know, I feel like, in general, it's a simple enough gameplay that, you know, they were able to, in effect, detail what the entire area is going to look like with the block diagram that they posted of showing the delivery counters, the processing machines, and all the different other tools that are there. And I think the one thing that people are wondering with this is, we mentioned Giant's Foundry, and is it going to feel sufficiently different enough from that, right? Because you remember when we did a quest for that, and then it served as the onboarding, and the thing was, are you going to need that level of onboarding for this? Is there going to be something quest related to it? And
there,
I mean,
there is going to be an introductory quest.
Okay. So I can see then why people are saying that leans into the.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? Like it's lower XP per hour for a lower intensity experience.
Yeah. And also doing a different kind of reward track too, which I think is interesting.
So let's talk about the rewards, because that's really where things get interesting, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's you know where players' eyes are definitely gonna go for this one here. From the top down, I guess? Or are there any that are jumping out at you right off the bat?
No, let's just go from the top down.
All right. Potion packs. The main reward from this was receiving potions you wouldn't otherwise be able to get consistently when using different herbs.
Yeah, it's interesting because you don't need, this is interesting, I think, as well from a from an Iron Man perspective, because it basically allows you to get potions from those herbs without needing to gather the secondaries. And if I remember correctly from League, some of the secondaries are really annoying to get. So
which ones are you thinking of in particular?
I didn't like getting like all the unicorn horns I needed.
Okay, fair. Because I know the reason I asked that is because the example the blog gives, which I feel like is a I don't know why this is the example, but Cerdoa and Bruce, it's easy enough to get nests either through miscellany or birdhouses, but but 81 Herblore, right? So a different way of getting Bruce.
Yeah, but like they will be changing it so you don't really get it if you don't have the level or really rarely, which I think makes sense. So
that's an aspect of the ZMI runecrafting coming in that, you know, it's going to vary based on level.
Yeah. So, like, based on the Q&A, basically what they're aiming for is that the potion packs give you a little bit less than you would have gotten from using the herbs yourself. But it's not actually going to be, you know, massively off either. So you get, like, a good chunk back if you spend all your reward points on potion packs, which is quite a big if.
Right. And see, that's the thing. I don't necessarily know that you would dump all your herbs into this because it's going to be less XP than making traditional potions at your level. But keep in mind, it's 70 plus, so
yeah,
there's going to be some differentiation there.
Yeah.
Are you interested in the potion packs? I know for your hardcore character, if that gets there eventually.
Maybe. I mean, I'm quite interested in this activity. Herblore is traditionally one of the harder Iron Man skills to train. It's lamped a lot on Iron Man. So this, at least cutting out the secondaries is interesting, and then getting some of the resources back through potion packs might happen eventually.
Yeah. But, next up is the reagents pouch. With this one,
you're skipping the new one that they added in the list.
Oh, which one am I missing? I was just going based off of here what was in the post.
Oh, you're going.
Oh, that was the feedback changes. Oops. Yeah, I was at the wrong section here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The potion of goading, tradable.
Interesting. I like it. I think
this potion will allow you to set aggro on any non-aggressive enemies within a 9x9 area of the player using it. This means not only could you re-aggro the enemies, but you'll be able to lure enemies that you don't normally pay any attention to, like Dust Devils.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's going to be a huge impact. I think these potions could end up being pretty expensive, so this might be a great moneymaker for people if they want to do this activity.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking
at
it.
And I think this is similar in vein to the Amylize Crystals from...
From Agility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
They're already saying that these are all going to be pulled, so we'll get a chance to vote on them sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we get to the one you were wanted to go to, the reagents.
Yes, the reagents pouch. This is an item storing technology like the herb sack. This lets you store up to 30 of all secondary ingredients from limpwort roots to unicorn horns. Ingredients inside the bag will be used in creating potions, so you don't even need to remove them from the pouch.
Yep. So from what I can tell, basically they want this to work similar to the rune pouches as well, so there should be a really good flow. Like, that's one thing that really stood out to me as part of almost all of the Q&A stuff, is that they are really keeping the flow and the UI in mind. So to come back to the previous topic, this is top of their mind, right? Like, they want to put as much of the stuff as possible in the game world as well, and not have a lot of UI over the gameplay, and they want to make sure that the reagents pouch is not like a weird shuffle. Like, rune pouches suck.
They do,
right? And the reagents pouch, they want to basically go in the rune pouch direction, which I think those rune pouch chases were a game jam project. One, this entire show is coming full circle. they want to do something. So I think this basically could help you, once you have this, to make 27 potions of inventory rather than 14.
Right, and you know, that has always been a big problem with Herblore, and, you know,
yeah.
Thankfully we have some variant of a Makex system now, because I remember back in the day you just have to click on each potion, so not unlike Agility that would give you RSI, Herblore would give you RSI as well, so this is the next logical progression from what we got in terms of Makex now. Next up is the Alchemist set. Prescribed Eyewear lets you see beyond the physical realm into the science zone. Not really. Wearing them will net a 10% chance to save an ingredient when mixing potions. Simple enough.
Yeah, it used to be the full. Used to be the full set. They got rid of that. I don't know why that was a criticism, but it seems from the Q&A that they wanted to revisit the set effects of other scaling outfits as well, to maybe put them on like a single item to make them a little bit.
I like that because you're only going to need the goggles for this here. Well, the other pieces.
That's basically what people wanted, I think, so they can fashionscape while still getting effects.
Exactly. Right. Imagine if Graceful was just one piece. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
But like, I spent so much effort recoloring my Graceful so I could fashionscape.
Right.
The only thing missing is the quest cape. That would fill out the entire outfit.
Right. Okie dokie. We're off track from the Alchemist set, so that means it's time to move on to the next one. The Amulet of Chemistry. An imbued version of it, basically an enhanced version of the existing Amulet of Chemistry on it. It increases the chance to mix four dose potions to 15%. I don't think there's anything else to say on this one.
So they clarified on the Q&A how this will work. So basically you can just buy these and get charges, but you can also recharge them by using normal Amulet of Chemistry on them.
That's good. That creates an out in the economy for that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's one of the things I posted in the survey as concerning me. Like, I would like there to be something related to the existing Amulet. Like, it could also be like an imbue scroll for all I care, but this just seems like a reasonably elegant solution.
You want to hear a fun story about their surveys and why I hadn't been doing them? I had my U-Block Origin set, so it would block those from the page.
Oh. Oops.
For folks unaware, uBlock Origin is an extension for Chrome, Firefox, and what have you, and it effectively works like an HTTP firewall for pages. So.
Oh.
The pre-pot device. Why drink one potion when you could create a cocktail of flavors and effects for any occasion? Yes, no, maybe so. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. This feels like not an issue, but if people are happy,
I mean, it's an inventory saver because you can combine five different potions into it.
Yes, but you can only do it in the bank.
Yes, exactly. So imagine what else you could put in that inventory slot if you were going to fight Jad, for example, right?
I don't know. I don't mind sipping the potions and then updating my inventory. I don't know.
This one's going to be tradable.
Yeah, I know. It's also reusable.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, just put it in. It's fine. I think it's okay to have ones like this. So, and then the final reward is potion storage, a storage solution that will finally free bank slots from the tyranny of potions. And after unlocking this item, there'll be a new element in the bank that'll allow you to place potions onto it without taking up bank slots. So it's going to be a potion area of the bank.
Let's do this, and then let's add the seed bank in there as well. Seed vault.
Yeah, just basically, because the seed vault already exists, so it's just a question of hooking it into the bank, basically. Yeah. So.
I use the seed vault for a lot of things, but not my herb seeds, because I want those to be available to start a run whenever
Same.
I can.
That and the seeds for the birdhouses.
Oh, yes, exactly. There's also not in my bank. Yeah. No, I would love this. And again, it's going to be interesting to see how this works with like bank tab layouts. That would be awkward if I needed to keep things in, but I don't use my layouts a lot to have exact inventories like figured out because I don't know. I think this is fine. Give me a good interface to pick my potions and I'll be happy.
Right. And that seems to be the thing that both you and I are talking about this week is that we appreciate very good interfaces, simple interfaces when they
Yeah.
appear. And if that can, abstract some of the core complexities away behind things, then, that's all the reason. And that's the reason in the wider world why operating systems like Windows and Mac OS succeeded over things like MS-DOS and Unix. But
Yeah, I think.
I think we also still like the command line, the both of us too, from time to time, right?
Oh yeah, I spent a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's basically it. There was a feedback post as well. I think we covered most
Yeah,
of the things in
we
that,
kind
like
of
the potion
merged
of.
them all together.
Yeah, I think the potion of goading was added. I think the few things we didn't cover is that they added unfinished potions as a potential thing you can also put in there, which I like. It's a good way of having a sync for those items as well.
Saves inventory spots and just cleans things up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it means that it's not. Yeah. Another thing is that the pacing will be a little bit faster. They want to make it less UI heavy than Giant's Foundry. In Giant's Foundry, you're not moving around a lot, and this will be a little bit, higher pace. But they want to move as much of the information into the world. I'll use a fancy word here, diegetically.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think, and it will be a bit smaller than the Giant's Foundry as well, so that, they don't expect run energy to become a big problem. But if it is, they will basically either give you infinite run energy or add like a thing you can sip from to get run energy. So it seems like they understand that. Like this is the theme that comes forward. They really want to make this as smooth of an experience as possible. But then we come to the big thing, and I think at least the feedback post to me implied that a lot of people have concerns about this, and I saw a bit of back and forth. Well, not even back and forth. I saw a bit of concern of this in the YouTube comment threads as well, which is the XP per hour, which Jagex purposely hasn't shared yet, because they don't know yet where exactly they want to go. For
I think the
now, they.
core of that is that you probably want potions, regular potions, to be the main way to train still. But the issue is, how do you find a spot for this that's good
Yeah.
enough that people will do it, but not so good that it encroaches on traditional potions? Because we all know that if it
Yeah.
doesn't give enough XP, it's going to be dead content regardless of the rewards.
Well, so what they think the XP sweet spot is that you get more XP per herb, but it is low XP per hour compared to making potions. And honestly, I kind of agree. I think that is the sweet spot, and I immediately thought of Mahogany Homes, right? I do Mahogany Homes because it only costs me a third of the GP, but it is also way, way slower than continuously building and destroying mahogany tables, especially now that you can spam click that, right? So I think it will work. I think there's room for both of it still. But we gotta see where it sits. They also say that, the rewards are gonna be something extra you get out of it. And to be honest, I did
Something
Thai Farm.
extra, extra.
I did Thai Farm only for the rewards, not for the XP.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And a lot of the rewards are untradeable, but it would kind of suck if it became a pretty dead activity. I would love it to be reasonably, When I'm at Giant's Foundry, there's almost always I'm rarely alone. And that's not even on a
Right,
dedicated
and we've
world.
talked about before how Giant's Foundry has become something that really supplements smithing and made it so, for me at least, it feels like we don't need something akin to like a major smithing overhaul.
Exactly. And I think Giant's Foundry is probably slower than just building things on anvils all the time, but building things on anvils all the time is so much more expensive.
And click intensive.
So the problem with Herblore, I feel, is that it's a little bit click intensive, but it's not bad.
No, it's fine.
And it's fast, right? You can get so much XP per hour. Like, it's probably one of the fastest 99s out there if you can sink the money into it. So that's what it is fighting against. And that's what it will need to beat. But I'm optimistic. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, and we'll leave that to the folks in the lands of mystical Jagex balance area to sort that out. With all the spreadsheets and all the data behind the scenes.
Yes.
It exists. It's difficult. It's difficult. But in any case, time to provide a bit of a quest update in terms of what we've been doing. We slayed Monkey Madness. We slayed that quest. We were a little bit over-leveled for that, I will say. That was the most recent quest in our questing adventure. Unlocks, of course, the Dragon Scimitar at this point in time, the Agility course, which I don't think is really that useful for us right now. But it unlocks, of course, I think the biggest thing for us is the option to free the Monkey King in Recipe for Disaster.
Yeah.
That's the reason that one was there. We also haven't talked about two other quests that we did. I'm going to start by mentioning that we did the Lost Tribe, which was like goblins. Okay. I remember my commentary through this one was that the goblin quest was good and the storyline ended abruptly, but it was fun nonetheless in terms of the exploration and not necessarily, you know, having, how did I put it? I said it was like exploration and peacemaking. Without the need to, you know, lean too heavily into combat stuff. So that was good on that. And then another one was Horror from the Deep, which of course unlocks the various books and whatnot, the magic books, which, you know, we wanted. So that one was a nice simple one. And, you know, doing all these quests, it's always I always feel like it's a coin toss. Or maybe less than a coin toss, but there's always a chance that some of these quests really haven't aged well, and I feel like these three in particular have done okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I was put under a struggle that was brought out by 2024 things versus, you know, 2006 or whenever Monkey Madness came out, so that was definitely a good thing.
Yeah, Monkey Madness is a long one, but it's in no... I mean, you have to run through a long tunnel, which is maybe a little bit too long, but...
It's easy with stamina potions.
Honestly, exactly. I think most of the annoying bits of that quest have sort of been counteracted by general quality of life things like stamina potions we got these days and graceful and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. But otherwise I've been living my life in the mystical support skill lands. I got 67 agility this week at Sears Village and finally completed Graceful. Finally.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a long time. Yeah.
It was. And, you know, I took a big break from agility there. Looking at that, and I wanted to focus on XP because, you know, if you look at the wiki and you say where is the best place to get these tokens based on agility lap shortness and the amount of time you spend doing a run, Caniphus is the place to be to get the get the tokens. But I just went for the XP on that, and I, as a result, got it around 67 or so. But like you, I have my own specific, graceful recolor that I have in mind. I think folks who know me will know which one that is and, what I'm going to be going for on that. But I think it's 70 agility we need at the end for Quest Cape and Song of the Elves, right?
Yeah.
So that's three away. So that's not too bad. I don't know if I'm going to continue that right away or if I'm going to continue the other thing I was doing this week, which was I went back to Varlamor and I did Varlamor thieving because, you know, we're going to need 72 thieving eventually for Wild Gothic Sleeps. And I just wanted to do some thieving, lean into that in a week that wasn't Varlamor launch week. And of course, I'm talking about the burglaries, because the origin story on that is that right before Voldemort came out, I tried the Squirk Juices, I tried the artifact stealing, and I tried the blackjacking. By far the best one for me on that case before that came out was artifact stealing, but it was still kind of iffy and I didn't necessarily like it. But based on what we got with the lean back skilling options in Voldemort burglaries, this is going to be my way to 72. As I continue to work on that as part of the quest requirement list. So I'm pleased that that exists and it just flows as nicely as it did on Voldemort launch week. And that's been my week. How about you?
Awesome.
How about you?
You know, nothing special. No, I mean, I teased this last week, right? I got 75 ranged. And at that point, I was really... Yeah, I was really thinking, I have no more reasonable excuse to postpone the fight caves. And the fire cape is such a pivotal item for melee gear.
You feel like all these bonuses and boosts aren't going to stack up, but they do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it helps a lot. And we'll need it because there's some Grandmaster quests coming up. So, you know,
I'm not committing to doing it yet. I'm not committing to that yet.
No, I understand. You know, I don't want to know how much money I sunk into this. I think it was at least a few. Yeah, I mean, I got myself a toxic blowpipe, but then you need to charge it. Then you need to get like potions, Sarah brews, prayer pots,
Blessed Dragonhide.
Blast Dragonhide.
Did you end up using that, like, the Armadale book like you were mentioning to me?
No, because I found out that Toxic Blowpipe is a two-handed weapon.
Okay. Right.
So I did not. But then yeah, I went into the speedrunning worlds, and you can cheese your way around there and do the first challenge.
You should use the beta world.
I could have done that as well. Well, you can't easily, I could have gotten myself a fire cape to the debug item, I guess. But yes, okay, fine. But I did the first challenge of Totskrek or something like that, I think he's called. He's in the inner city, where you basically kill a harder Jad. To figure out what to do with like healers and prayer switching and all that. And
how is it harder?
More hit points, 5 healers, and the healers hit 14 instead of 4.
Okay. Okay.
I felt pretty good about it. I did fight caves, which took me forever. And then I logged out in like after wave 61, went back. Did another 2 practice runs, right, to get sort of back into the rhythm. Felt pretty good about it. Went back into the main game and messed up my 3rd prayer switch.
Oh, no.
So that was pretty frustrating because of how much time it takes to get in there.
Yeah. And that's the chief complaint of instances like that, is that if you mess up at the end, the entire thing is garbage.
I am low enough hit points and defense that it wants to kill me if it hits me. And that's very punishing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went back in, 2nd attempt. I changed up my inventory a little bit because at least the first sort of run through was very informative on what resources I actually use. I brought less Sarah Bruce.
Because you can theorycraft it so much, but until you get in there with the stats, you're not going to know exactly what you need. So.
So I brought fewer Saradome and Brews. I brought Divine Ranging Potions, which are way cheaper than Bastion Potions. And let's be honest, the defense is not going to be a big problem. You're praying most of the time. Got to Jad again, slightly faster. Got to the healers. I had chintz with me this time, which made it really easy to lure them. Went around Italy Rock, and one of the healers got stuck on the wrong side, on the chat side. So I was like, oh, I need to get that one.
I picture in my head exactly how that goes, because I know that exact rock from, you know, doing it before and seeing it in leagues on the old school side. And I know exactly the position you got that one in there. So
yeah, so I was like hopping out and back in and hopping out like really quickly so there wouldn't be an attack from Jad coming in, but it wasn't enough to get the healer unstuck. So I lingered a little bit too long. Jad got an attack in. I didn't enable my prayer quick enough. Boom. Dead. Damn. Right? And then, third attempt. Third time's the charm, right? I didn't change much about my inventory, though I did realize I brought monkfish instead of manta ray as emergency food. So I was like, darn, that better not be necessary.
And I don't know if I messaged you at the time, and I said, I don't think you're going to need that, because if it's an emergency, that's not going to matter.
So I used them just before the start of Jad, because I don't want to, I want to keep my divine ranging potion up, and using Sour Brews negates that effect.
Yeah.
Because the divine ranging potion also damages you by 10, and I want to go in full health in a Jad fight, because I know I need to tank a few hits from the healers. So I wanted to go in full health, so I didn't need to go back and forth and use a lot of potions. Anyway, lured the healers, and this time I was very purposeful. I was basically only moving part of the way behind Italy Rock each time, making sure that the healers caught up to me each time. And just knowing Jad's there, so like move 5 tiles, spray a switch. Move. I felt like a idiot, but I got behind it, killed the healers, and at that point it was home stretch.
Yeah, because managing the prayer switches on Jad after that point, after you're accustomed to it, is easy mode, I think.
Yeah, so when I moved the healers, I almost messed up one of my prayers, and from that point onward, like, sort of adrenaline hit.
Pins and needles.
And like, I was like, at the end of the fight, I was genuinely shaking. Like, my hands were shaking at the end of it.
And I told you to record it, and you recorded the game screen, but you didn't record your reactions to it. So
No, there was a lot of cussing.
That would have been a fun thing to see.
Yes.
But
no, but, I mean, the video is, like, the last wave and Jad, and it's, like, less than 5 minutes, which is, like, you spend over an hour to get there, and then it's over in that short of time. But hey, I got the cape.
And that's all it is.
I don't need to spend the cape. I mean, you need to sacrifice the cape for Inferno, but by the time I feel
ready for Inferno, enough, you're going to be able to cakewalk fire caves.
Exactly. At that point, I'll do a Slayer task there, bring the Slayer helmet imbued, and it's going to be so much easier. It's done.
And that's the story for the week, folks. I know I can do it. I just don't know if I want to lean into it that much. Part of me wants to see, you know, if I can complete Questscape and all the bosses there without that, because they, you know, there's other options available for it that are just a little bit less good than Fire Cape. But, you know, that's a good accomplishment, and I feel like combat level 88, I think you are, is a good level to do something like that at.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, to me, the Fire Cape feels like the cherry on top of the mid-game unlocks. It's such an iconic item. I had to have it. I had to have it. I don't know if I've told this on this show before, but on RS3, I've done Fire Caves once. And I used a Death Touch dart on Jad, which insta kills it. So this is my I've done Jad kills.
So you've done it once, and then you sacrifice that cape to unlock the kiln, basically.
Yes, and I've killed Jad in the kiln multiple times.
Yeah,
right. But I've never done a full on fight caves until leagues, which maybe doesn't count because I had infinite prayer and infinite health.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
So this is my first genuine earned by blood, sweat, and tears, Firegate.
The lore of Sirion behind the scenes that that we didn't know coming into this, and we're better
off. So what's going to happen the coming week is a change of pace and a lot of skilling.
That's fair. That's fair. And I'd imagine those skills, the push continues to unlock Questcape and various things. I know you're very close to having the levels. I'm not. That's what I'm working on as well.
Yeah. But,
that pretty much brings us to the close of update this week. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this show. Anything else before we go? Thoughts, concerns, prayers, incantations?
Please, Jagex, do not roll back the game to 2 days ago before, or a day ago even, before I got the fire cape. I will cry.
I think you're probably good on that. I think you're good on that. But we will be seeing you guys next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. We'll be back. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, just head on over to update.show/OS and click on one of the buttons. We're on Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and of course YouTube at youtube.com/@OSRS update. Leave a comment, like, and subscribe. It greatly helps the channel out. But we'll be back next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.